Building Bridges with Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash. Parliamentary coup that forced President Dilma Rousseff out of power has resulted in mass opposition to the interim government of Michel Temer, who has become known throughout Brazil as a golpista.
The international community will need to pay attention, and we will need solidarity with U.S. organizations like the Committee to Defend Democracy in Brazil, formed in February 2016 by artists, scholars, and representatives of human rights movements, women's groups, political parties, activists of environmental movements, and sectors of health services, among many others, whose aim is to support initiatives that defend the rule of law and democracy in Brazil.
Listen to President Rousseff as she spoke before a standing room only audience of labor activists in New York as she decried the impeachment proceedings as a betrayal and an injustice, and how her government was the target of nonstop sabotage. Rousseff said the objective was to stop her from governing and therefore allow an environment inviting the coup. Before the cheering audience, President Rousseff talked about the opposing forces engulfing the media and sectors of the legislative, judiciary, and executive powers, as well as part of the Brazilian elite who worked to destabilize the sovereignty of the people and of the Brazilian Constitution.
She further insisted that the only respect for the laws of the democratic state brought about by the popular vote would bring stability and prosperity to the people of Brazil, contributing to the real fight against widespread corruption and the obstruction of public policies as they are necessary to national and international growth. And now President Dilma Rousseff.
This struggle, fight for democracy, it had here a reverberation, more than an echo. There was a spring of ideas, of comprehension of what was happening in Brazil, and this is essential. Why? Because we have a long fight ahead of us in Brazil. We all know that a coup was happened, a parliamentary coup, but it was a dangerous coup, a coup that has clear aims. These goals go from its most violent misogyny in the words, rude words, in the insults, in the disqualification for being woman. It has some very clear objectives. The goals of the coup against it is our where our struggle is for companheiros that have to do with our comrades and the challenge that we have together. What is the struggle that we have to take on in Brazil? What we have to do in Brazil in order to challenge this coup? We will have several fronts open as if it was a one only struggle. First, we have this basic struggle, fight for democracy, the struggle to clarify that a parliamentary coup, it's always when it's done against the Constitution. That is a parliamentary coup. You don't eliminate all rights, but you start affecting a few of the rights. And then the biggest right that a country can have is to elect its own president when it's a presidentialist system. I had 54.5 million votes, so it's a vote against 54.5 million votes. So, this struggle against the coup and for democracy, it's a strategic fight because democracy in Brazil, We know.
It's
the moment in which we have the possibility of transformation. Whenever there was democracy, we were able to achieve a transformation. It was for democracy, to democracy, that we were able to elect the first president. But it's not just a workman who is a president. It's a workman president that comes from the poorest region in Brazil, which is the Brazilian Northeast. He left the Northeast, his mother and him with their family, and a can of milk. That was everything that family owned. It was one can of milk. So this person that combines an industrial workman from São Paulo with the poorest rural worker from the Northeast of the country that was forced to move away and due to our effort, our work. I think it was yesterday. Water came to Campina Grande. Obviously, water does not get to Campina Grande because the coup authors did the transposition of the San Francisco River. Nobody here is naive to think that in 6 months you can build these three elevatory stations. They raise this water 60 meters, 20, 20, and 20, in order to raise the water all the way from down from San Francisco. 60 meters, put it up here and make it go down using gravity, effort from a government and a political decision to undertake that, bring the water from the San Francisco and bring it to where the drought is.
So it is not a trivial thing to have made this deviation of the waters from the San Francisco River. What is democracy? Democracy that brought a worker to become a president? And how did a woman got to be a president in Brazil? Through democracy. Both arrived through the fact that for the first time in Brazil, women could be president. Children can even play to be president, something they could not fathom before. Democracy is deeper even. It has to do with a way of manifestation, of demonstrating a complex country of 200 million. The diversity, the plurality of opinions is important, but above all, what is important is to have a focus. The population has to be a focus. It's black origins. It's history of exclusion and lack of privileges against them, and that need to recover that history to guarantee that there are equal opportunities. If we have a country where everybody is equal, in their own color, in their own appearance. This is Brazil. However, this country in which there is a way in the difference between each of us, it means equal opportunities so that everybody can have access to the richness. So there is a struggle that leads all the little struggles that we have. It is to perceive the value of democracy. To defend democracy is the most important task we have from now on. It's the struggle that begins with the coup that took place last year. Only to stop the investigations of corruption that were taking place, to pretend that the most corrupt would be caught as corrupt. At the same time, this coup was made for other reasons, we know, to put Brazil economically and political and geopolitically into neoliberalism. We had been escaped neoliberalism. Neoliberalism had started to be implanted in Brazil with the government of President Fernando Collor. He was able to dismantle some of our main industries. He was able to privatize some of our state-owned companies. And this was continued by President Fernando Henrique Cardoso. And in 2002, that stopped with the election of President Lula, and from then on, from 2002 until my impeachment in 2016, we were able to prevent neoliberalism, and we relaunched an investment in Brazil.
Because
we were not investing in electrical energy before, and we did. They were not investing in finding oil, because, of course, it costs money. There is no way. You have to. One of the biggest reserves of oil, which is the pre-salt layer.
Colocar os pobres no orçamento.
And we also managed to put the poor in the national budget. And now the coup is to take the poor out of the budget.
This is
the fundamental characteristic of what this government is trying to impose. Our struggle against the retrocess is what's mobilizing Brazil now. If the constitutional amendment that created a limitation of the expenditures that will prevent the progress in education and health that Brazil needs. It was a constitutional amendment approved with an incredible lightness of mind. And people in Brazil did not have a deep awareness of what was taking place. And by now, they do know. Now they know what's happening in Brazil. Of the 27 states of Brazilian Federation, there are popular mobilizations against reform of Social Security. One deputy of the politicians, he says, how can you vote against the changes in Providence if the priests and the clubs in my city are against it? He talked about it as somebody who was noticing the level of opposition that people are showing against this proposal. And the Central of the Workers, CUT, are having mobilizations due to the precarization of work. The approves a law to pass to third parties all the activities. A hospital, therefore, can exist without having a doctor that is of its own. Everybody can be hired from somewhere else. Workers would be contracted by intermediary enterprises. An enterprise of radio, television, magazines don't need a journalist. Every worker has become an individual enterprise. They will never be paid their benefits, vacations, pensions, and they are taking away all the workers' conquests that in Brazil started in 1946. This is a process that is for social rights, very intense. They are delaying the payment of the doctors, of the More Doctors campaign we have launched, reducing 250 doctors. These are doctors that we gave them some subsidy, and they have been serving 300,000 Brazilians. And they want to end up this program because most of those doctors actually come from Cuba. And this new government has an allergy for Cubans.
Não é interessante porque eles falavam.
They bad-mouthed us for having invested in the port of Mariel to help Cuba's development. And when the accord was made between Obama and the Cuban government, then Brazil silenced about it because they pretend to be what they are not, liberals. They are not like the liberals in the United States. The Brazilian elite has never wanted to educate its people, never wanted to raise the life conditions of our people. It is not the same elite of other countries.
Essa é uma luta fundamental.
This is a fundamental struggle.
A segunda luta
tem the second struggle has
ela
something to do with that,
do
with our economic
nós
growth.
Podemos, querido,
we
um
cannot
país.
Want, as a country, in which the economy grows and people impoverish. We know that story. But the story that is happening in all the countries in the world where financialization has increased, which is richness for the financial sector, but it doesn't generate work. Growth of the national income is concentrated in their pockets. We cannot support this type of growth. We have demonstrated that we can distribute rent and increase the market. Brazil is not a commodities dependent country. Brazil, besides, I'm very proud of this, that besides having an agriculture that is technologically sophisticated,
o nível de adaptação.
Because the level of adaptation that Brazil has conquered in desertic regions of Brazil is incredible, with the adaptation of seeds by the Brazilian company of agriculture that has developed new seeds. And we are adapting our cultures on the basis of not simply planting. Besides that, Brazil has oil. Brazil has minerals, but also we have airway industry. We have 7,000 meters deep probes for oil in the ocean. We have an industry of pharmaceutical industry in Brazil and petrochemical. We have a pattern of industrialization that they wanted to destroy that many times before. There is a process in Brazil right now of disindustrialization. This must be stopped, and it will not be stopped by those who are in power now. Our agenda, the distribution of income, reinforcing the internal market of Brazil, which is one of its biggest richness. Nobody can despise a market that has the potential of the Brazilian market. The more you improve their life, the stronger this market becomes. We also have to be mindful of the national sovereignty. Brazil is now engaged in selling land. We cannot alienate our territory. They say I have put excessive barriers in the selling of land. No, what we did not accept was to denationalize Brazilian land, to sell to other nation states. Other nations control the Brazilian territory. No country in the world does that. Second, we do not accept a certain type of attempt to control millions of square miles to companies, because this alienates the Brazilian sovereignty. And then, regarding the production of oil, simple to understand what happened in Brazil. We spent almost 100 years to obtain a decent level of petrol production. In the beginning of last century, we said Brazil has no oil. Well, we went and we found it. Found oil in the bottom of the sea. We built a company like Petrobras, and we built up a structure to support that industry. And in 2006, the research done by Petrobras brought us to the discovery of another type of oil region in the Brazilian basin. And we went there and we found oil. There is oil there of good quality. The lion's part belongs to the national state. The state has 70 or 75% of the proceeds from this oil. The rest belongs to the enterprise that is going to exploit. And this is a partnership model, and it is used in places where oil is found in great amounts, like in Norway, in parts of the Northern Sea, and also in some and almost other countries
who have a lot of oil.
Estão querendo
the question is
a parte
that they want
leão,
to diminish the part of the lion and transfer it to the private sector, which is a scandal, because the discovery was done by Petrobras. Petrobras created the technology. When did you see a country that was producer of commodities who has the technology for exporting oil in the depths of the sea with high pressure, valid also for the mineral richnesses of Brazil? So the question of sovereignty goes through that, and it goes through the relationship between the public banks and the private banks. Brazil has been able to keep, after the flood of neoliberalism in Argentina, in Uruguay, in Chile, three public banks. Those three big public banks allowed us to distribute rent to the social programs. One is the Bank of Development. Since Brazil has a sector that is extremely financialized, and is the National Bank of National and Social Development. There is also the Economic Federal Bank, which has already a network all over the country. It is through the Caixa Econômica that we distributed the subsidies to the families that we have developed for the poor families. And from what is the adequate technology, we made a list of a map of the poverty. You know that poverty in Brazil is feminine, it's black women, you know where they are, you know where it is in a rural zone. This map helped us to imprint the mark of the poverty in Brazil and distribute that out throughout all the social programs. And this question of the sovereignty of Brazil, we have a struggle that is very strong. It is not possible to dismantle this attempt to dismantle Brazil. We do not think that the international capital cannot participate. Quite the contrary. We have always said, yes, you can participate, but within the conditions that are interesting to Brazil, not anyone. That is why in all places, in all sectors, we made partnerships.
What do they want? They want to change. They don't want the 30%. They want the 90%. What did we do? They want the other share. They want our share. What happens is that we have a sovereignty problem. We have to fight against that. What they are doing with our sovereignty now. What is modernity if not the enlargement and comprehension that people have more rights than they used to in the early 20th century? It's not just the socioeconomic rights, it's the women's rights, the LGBT rights, environmental rights. All that issue around rights in Brazil is in question. It's being challenged. I started with the end. Democracy, and I conclude at the end again, democracy. Defend democracy here is a movement that has to reverberate in Brazil. This is the movement that makes a difference. We will have to fight for democracy, because in Brazil, the situation is very dire and complex. There's an impasse in Brazil, an impasse of coup government. I'm not even talking about the investigation. Without investigations, they already have an impasse in their hands. With the investigation, it gets even more intense. What's the impasse? Either they deliver what they promised to the media and to the market, which is the pension reforms and labor laws reforms and others, the land statutes, etc. And when they try to do that, they get weaker in the population's eyes, and it's already being contagion between the population and parliament. The parliament is already finding difficult to approve laws. Either they deliver and expression that will come to the market and media, or they deliver, and I believe that people will be dissatisfied in a monumental way, which will create an impasse in all areas. We don't know what will happen, but we are clear about one thing. I criticize my impeachment process. I criticize all that, but Brazil has a legislation. Any removal today implies an indirect election if you're going to follow the Constitution. Direct elections in Brazil is total chaos. Why is it? Many people say we have to discuss how, because if it was lack of dialogue that everything that happened took place. You can dialogue, yes, but you have to create democratic conditions for discussion. Democratic conditions for discussion or dialogue have to come through direct elections. The Brazilian legislation provides that from now on, if the president leaves his indirect elections up until October of 2018, when we will have our direct elections. Direct elections in Brazil, in any hypothesis, whatever happens in the interim, we need to understand that now at that moment there will be a presidential election, an election that will be the elections that give support to any transition, whatever it is, and at the same time we have to have an exclusive constitutional commission to create a legislative reform, because these people who are there under this electoral system, I mean, the political electoral system that exists in Brazil, it's unfeasible to have any possibility of stability economically or politically speaking. So I tell you, from any angle that you look at the problem, there will be no condition of stability in Brazil without a democratic process of choice, without the Constitution, the rule of law being in effect again. We're living weird times where we'll have to have a lot of firmness and determination to absolutely expand the democratic space. I thank you for your struggle. I thank you for the demonstration of hope that you created to Brazilians here and in Brazil for this show of democracy that you gave all of us. Thank you so much from the bottom of my heart.
This has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg
and Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.